Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And why is it an awesome Tuesday? Because our NHL and Stars insider, Sean Shapiro, joins us on this episode of Spits and Suds. Hey, everyone, it's Gavin Spittle feeling good today on 105.3 The Fan. The hockey might be done on television and a cup has been hoisted, but not here on Spits and Suds. We have a ton to talk about, and we'll get to Sean in just a second. Driving to work today, absolutely loved it. I passed by the On Time Experts van, and they were going to make a new customer a customer for life, or maybe it was already a customer for life and they needed some work done. Either way, the On Time Experts, they want you to be a customer for life. If you haven't chosen them yet, please, by all means, support them because they support local hockey here in DFW, the official HVAC company of our Dallas Stars and the official HVAC company right here of Spits and Suds. I've used them for my plumbing. I've used them for my HVAC. By the way, with this muggy weather, man, my AC, by the way, I set it on 80 to 81 and my house is nice and cool right now. That's how efficient my AC system is. Please come on over, test it out for yourself. The On Time Experts, two specials to tell you about. $59 first time customer HVAC cleaning. They will gut your HVAC. They will check out all the parts. They will make sure everything's working properly for just $59. And $99 first-time customer drain cleaning special. Make sure everything is working perfect. I mean, for $160 for a first-time customer, you knock two major items off your to-do list. So think about the On-Time Experts. Please use them because they're supporting us here at Spits and Suds. Same-day service guaranteed. The On-Time Experts at theontimeexperts.com. All right, we bring on Sean Shapiro. Of course, he's our favorite. We talk to him a couple times a week. It's so great that he makes time for us. How are you today, Sean?
I'm good, Gavin. I'm really good. With the result on Sunday night, Gavin, we've officially reached the off season. So there's no longer I've lost any ability to say that's an off season question. So now for everyone, we've lost any excuse I had to ever push a question back on you. We're dealing from we're officially off season now. So
yeah.
Tackle anything and everything, I guess. And there's no excuses unless I have to say, hey, that's a training camp question. I guess we had that one to the.
Yeah, because we used to say, boy, that's a June question. But now we look, it's like mid-June. So, yeah. I mean, before we know it, NHL draft, free agency. I was saying the other day, Sean, it's like I loved how the NFL made the NFL a year-round topic of discussion. And I feel like the NHL has done that as well.
Yeah, and I do think there's a I think the league has with the way they kind of have kept July 1st kind of a hard July 1st, I think helps on that, just like you think about the timing of it, because I don't remember exactly I don't know exactly how it works in the NBA world, Gavin, but in the NBA world, well, isn't there, while the players' free agency technically opens July 1st, they can't sign for a couple of days. I don't remember what the NBA one is, but I think there's something about the NBA that's a little bit different that way. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, the NBA draft is upcoming. It just hasn't made the headlines as much as, you know, other drafts. And I think, you know, I mean, maybe it's because, and this is why the NBA is kind of slid down in the draft category, is because, well, A, I mean, the Knicks just won the championship, but, you know, B, a lot of times we cannot make relationships with these players anymore because they're not playing 3 to 4 years, whereas college football, you really know the people coming out in the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I think the other thing the NHL has done a good job of has been building on these international things, right? Like, I think there's been over the past couple of years with the Four Nations and obviously the Olympics this year, in another event coming up in a couple of years now. I think the NHL has done a good job kind of building on that international spot where it gives you the touch point for the casual fan to lock in more than every 4 years, right? Because I think about this from a soccer perspective, Gavin, and hear me out on this. Like, I'm a big soccer fan. But if you're a USA men's national team fan, you really only need to care about it every 4 years, right? Like, I've got friends who are like, oh, I'll watch Team USA at the World Cup, but they don't really care about it outside of that. And that's completely fine, but it's just that there's that national team touch point that isn't bringing people in all the time. And I think with hockey, there might be a little bit of a lesson to talk about with that, of going back to this, having international hockey a little bit more often with the Olympics, with the Four Nations, with something else down the line here, with we see what that kind of looks like, that World Cup of hockey. I think it creates more regular touch points for those casual people who say, I want to see best on best, but don't really care about the day to day. I think that's a good thing. So I don't know. I'm just throwing theories out as we're talking about this. So.
I love it. And maybe it's because of the timing, but stick tap to the Carolina Hurricanes because they are having their parade on a Saturday. And why do I like that? I think it's great that kids can go. I mean, granted, it's summer, but I love the fact that people are out of work and that kids can go with their families. To me, that is a lifetime memory. While I didn't go to any parades officially growing up, I remember watching them on TV with my dad. And to me, that I still remember that to this day. So kudos to Carolina. I'm expecting Rob Brind'Amour to go shirtless, you know, or get another shirt torn off of him. I mean, listen, if I had that body, I would have it torn off all day long. I mean, that guy looks like he can still play a couple shifts.
He is, I love, it's, you and I last week talked about his impact on Carolina hockey and everything like that. Like, he's someone who, it's a pretty cool connection to have that for what he's done for that market as a player, as a coach. It's the way it's kind of, he's defined what hockey is there. It's a pretty damn cool thing to see. And, it's not a requirement, right? But I think it's important to have those touch points, right? Like, he is in Dallas. Why do we have the Mike Modano statue outside the AAC? And I guess eventually getting moved up the tollway. It's because you need icons, and you need those figures that kind of connect you to it. And I think there's something about what Rod Brind'Amour has done, I think, that's really cool to Carolina history. I want to be clear on one thing. You don't just hire someone because they worked for you before. You want to hire the best candidates. Let's be very clear on that. Yep. But I do think how it's worked out with Carolina and Rod, I think there's a cool thing that connects historically, like that connects the current generation of Hurricanes fans to, hey, this team has won in 2006 and what would happen there in that history, because you have to find ways to make those touch points. Because while I know I think the Stars did that intentionally this past season, trying to use a bit of those 99 looking jerseys. But if you think about it, like, the Stars, it's been a long time since 99. The touch points are starting to get lost there. If you're a fan that wasn't alive or wasn't a kid in the late 90s or older when they won 99, like, you might not think about the Stars as having ever won a Stanley Cup. Like, if you're someone who was born, I look at it this perspective, right? Like, I grew up as a struggling, I'm still struggling Mets fan, right? But I was born in 89, which is 3 years after they won a World Series. And so you say, oh yeah, they've won a World Series, but it's foreign concept to me. And that's something that 99 is starting to feel more and more like for Stars fans. So you need those touch points to history. So I think it's a pretty cool thing for Carolina past and present to have Brind'Amour as part of that.
Yeah, very interesting. You are currently 16 or 17 years old. The last time Mike Modano played in a Dallas Stars uniform, if you were born that same year. Yeah. So that's for perspective. Okay. So we've talked a lot about Dylan Larkin and, you know, prepping for this, Sean, the name that has popped up today. And I mean, it's, I like to call it silly season because, you know, a lot of rumors going around, a lot of cap movement potentially. It's a fun time of year for fans to play GM. Well, if you do a Google search today of Mason McTavish, the 23-year-old for Anaheim, I mean, just article upon article upon article. Nick Kiprios, I like Nick a lot, and he says, with new contracts coming to pending RFAs, Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier this summer, Mason McTavish's contract is vulnerable. He has a six-year deal, $7 million cap hit, and it talks about Joel Quenneville, who slashed McTavish's ice time from 1653 to 1519 per game and scratched him at points. So, Sean, thoughts on Mason McTavish? I would think this would be a very appealing player because of the age and because of the length of a contract for some teams, because I mean, I've always liked Mason McTavish.
And that's $7 million number is going to look even better.
Yep.
Couple of years from now too. Let's talk raw numbers with the salary cap going up. Where you want your top six, if you can be paying, he's got 4 years remaining after this one. That's going to be a pretty good deal for a top six center with some versatility. I would be in on him. Like if you're a team and you're a cap space, like, I know, obviously, with Detroit, there's all the Dylan Larkin talk. If you're Detroit and you're looking at kind of what type of player you want to get back, McTavish would make a ton of sense for center work and everything like that. The Ducks are an interesting team, Gavin, because I think they're an interesting like timeline team, right? Because they're trying to win and they're trying to build and everything like that. And you have to start taking those next steps. And obviously Leo Carlson is going to get a ton of money on his next RFAD. Cutter Gauthier is going to get some money. So you have to plan for that. The question is, can you bridge? For me, the question with McTavish would be, can you? I love Mikael Granlund. I want to be very clear. I love Mikael Granlund, but Mikael Granlund's making $7 million with 1 year left as a UFA after this coming season. For me, if I'm the Ducks, I'm not sure why Mikael Granlund's not the one you look at moving. I know it's the classic line of, I don't want to bite my nose to spite my face, where Mikael Granlund was your second line center and McTavish was kind of playing more of a third line winger role, but McTavish is 23, Granlund's 34.
Yeah.
If this is an Anaheim Ducks podcast, I'm having that serious question of, if we're having a cap casualty, and the Ducks might not have to do much, but if we're having a cap casualty when it comes to once Carlson signed, once Gauthier signed, once some of those young D are signed as well, shouldn't you be looking at moving Granlund for? Because just from the raw kind of timeline there, and I don't know, I'm just throwing this thought out there because I know he comes up, but I wouldn't sell this early on the player, and that's why I would definitely be all in if I'm another team and I have that space.
Okay, yeah, and this kind of brings me to a hypothetical that I wanted to ask you, because you know it's kind of been asked of me, and just thinking, is there a move that Sean Shapiro considers that could potentially take the Stars over the top? We talk about three Western Conference finals. We talk about, you know, an unfortunate loss in the first round against a very good Minnesota Wild team. They'll be back. Obviously, Colorado's coming back. But if, Sean, if you were playing GM, is there a move? Because I think the likely scenario is pretty much it's going to be run back, but we have also witnessed teams like Florida you know, make some pretty big moves to say, hey, we're going to give to get, and we're going for it because we think this is the piece.
Yeah, that's a, okay. Let's, because I do think, I want to be clear on this. I think the Stars should re-sign Jason Robertson. So I want to let me thought exercise this out loud as we talk, right? Like, I think you...
And that could be part of the scenario too.
Yes, like I think you should re-sign Jason Robertson. In my mind, I think that number should be close to 12.5, even 12.75 in my mind is fair. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think that's something that's going to kind of work there. I would also try to get Maverick Bork signed for a nice deal of for something around 3 to 4-ish million as an RFA per season. The idea, Gavin, if you want to be bold and talk about changing things up, and this is the... I want to look at this side by side real quick. But we just talked about McTavish, right? And I'm not saying Mason McTavish is the guy to completely put an organization over the top or anything, but McTavish is making $7 million as a center and has been pretty durable, played 75 games, 76 games this year. And this is the whole, just if you're talking about bold and durability and you can see what you can get plus with.
It's a fun exercise.
Then I want to be very clear. This is Gavin asking me this question and we're throwing ideas out and we're talking about stuff. Please do not go and say, I don't want anyone listening to say, oh, Sean Spiro is saying this is going to happen. Because, but
we understand, Sean.
I know. I'm not, it's not to you, Gavin. It's to the aggregators out there.
I understand.
What about, sending out Ropa hints to the Ducks for McTavish and getting some additional assets too?
I don't think that's like a,
I know.
Crazy. I don't think that's crazy. Like I don't think, I actually think if that's put out there, people will be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because from a Dallas perspective, and this is my thing on Ropa hints, because I think Ropa hints is such a dynamic player and is, can be so entertaining. One of my favorite players to watch, but the lack of playoff availability, the way he can disappear at times in games, when the Stars are clearly a team that this playoff showed that you need guys to step up and grab it in certain ways. I can't help but think about it that way, where maybe there's a, I'm not moving on from the player at his best, and that, I want to be very clear on that. This isn't a get rid of Ropa hints, but everyone talks about, oh, moving Jason Robertson or moving Jason Robertson or doing any, like, when I look through the big money on this Stars team, and I look at kind of, I look at the defense, like, I think there's going to be a bounce back for Thomas Harley. Miro has a really good deal for what Miro does. I think your D is, you wouldn't mind adding another piece, but I think it's better than a lot of people realize. Like, I go through, I'm not trading Mikko. Obviously, I'm not getting Mikko Rantanen. Wyatt Johnston to me has an incredibly good contract. The Matt Duchene deal, even though he's going to get older, is still, that deal is still really good for its value for a top six center. Like, Ropa hints to me is the one that you move and you open up some space. And even if it's not for McTavish, even if it's for another player, I mean, heck, Gavin, Ropa hints is the same age as Dylan Larkin, which people don't remember.
Wow.
But they were, but what about, but that's, I mean, Maybe that's your crazy way you look at it. Hints for Larkin, and then both teams get to move on from their top six center that people have been upset with availability when it comes to times. So
no, you're absolutely right.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing
and Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, just a quick hitter. Yeah. The 2026 draft order is out. And for those wondering, the Stars do not have a first-round pick. That was part of the Mikko Rantanen trade. And we wonder, okay, what has happened? So obviously Carolina won the Stanley Cup. Carolina actually used that pick to the New York Rangers for Keandre Miller. So therefore, the New York Rangers are taking the Dallas Stars spot at number 26. So if you're ever wondering that, that is the case. Okay, we've been focusing on different Stars players. And I thought of this question for you, Sean. 2 years in the league now, Liam Bischel, what is it going to take for him to move up to that second pairing on defense?
Well, for what he needs to do or what needs to happen for him? I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think both fit in this scenario. I just kind of look and like, I'm happy with Liam Bischel, but I think like for a first round pick and a quick ascension to the NHL, I think he was more projected as a guy who's going to play top 4 minutes.
Well, either him or Thomas Harley. I mean, well, for one is once you're, when you look at the lefty righty problem the Stars have, and I don't think it's a problem, but that's kind of what happened. I think it's possible not to talk about it. Obviously you have Lindell and Heiskanen play together, two left-handed shot D, Harley and Nils Lundqvist. And I think Nils Lundqvist has been really, I think, mm-hmm. underrated. Obviously you and I have had a lot of conversation about Nils and I think kind of where his game is going. I think the hope for me, now Bischel's in year three of his RFA deal. Esa Lindell is, I think Esa's game is going to age pretty well. He's 32, he's only 32. But I do wonder as you kind of look at the slide and how things go, is the, over the next couple years, is it Esa's minutes start to become Leon's minutes and there's kind of a handing off or passing over of Esa Lindell becoming your lower pair defenseman with Leon eventually moving into that spot in year four of Esa's contract? I wonder if that's kind of the setup, because it's not a bad one, right? Because right now Esa's going to go into this season at 32 years old. I expect him to still play with Miro to start the year. I think Leon, I would like to see Leon anchor his own pair. Mm-hmm. And so if 2 years from now, when Leon's a 24-year-old and Esa's 34 and Miro's 28, if it's time for Leon's ready to be that top pair guy next to Miro, I think that could be a really good transition set up there. So I'm not overly worried about this window right now when it comes to Bischel moving up, because you have Thomas Harley and Nils Lundqvist as a second pair that I really like, and I don't want to mess with that. And so maybe it just becomes a level of minute management in games where you even things out a little bit more, and you give Leon the responsibility of running his pair and being in charge, because God knows if he's playing with Tyler Myers again, he's going to have to be the alpha on the pair, because I don't really like the Myers trade wasn't bad for what it needed to be, right? Like, I think that two things can be true. Like, I don't mind the Stars making the Myers trade like they did, but we can also acknowledge that it doesn't work, right? We can acknowledge that Myers probably should be a sixth or a seventh D, if anything, at this point in his career. So I know I'm not worried about the Bischel problem. I think there's he's going to eventually kind of take that role with his growth. And I think when you look at kind of cap projections, I think that all that makes sense. So I hope I'm not trying to push the question off, Gavin, but I don't see it as a problem right now.
Okay. No, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Okay. Let's reset this Jason Robertson timeline because I think that's important because you've been so good about telling us that Jason Robertson, you truly feel is going to re-sign. So we talked about key dates, June 26th, 27th, upcoming before we know it, is going to be, in fact, 10 days from now is the NHL draft, and that's followed by free agency. So let's reset your timeline on the Jason Robertson talks that you feel will happen.
Yeah. I think there's with the draft coming up a week from Friday. I truly believe deep down Jim knows whether he's going to trade Jason Robertson or not. Like I think internally for the Stars, I think Jim Nill has already made his decision on whether he's trading Jason Robertson or not. And my belief is that they are not going to, and they are going to get a deal done. And so now it becomes for Jim that line of how do I get the money in place to how do I line up the money better and kind of win this negotiation? And like win is like for me 12-5, 12-7-5, sure. Probably fair for both sides. So I think this is I still think my answer might change a little bit, Gavin, if you and I are recording this show. And I don't know, are we going to do anything from the draft? I know the Stars don't have a pick, Gavin, but are we going to do any like instant reaction from the draft for the? I love when we do live programming on the show, Gavin. I love when we.
I always say this: if Sean Shapiro has a passion for it, so does Gavin Spittle.
So if we've got a. Yeah, I don't know if you and I, when we chat on either the 26th or 27th, and I'll be there in Buffalo, and he is still not signed, maybe my answer changes a little bit. But I think right now, unless the Stars go to the draft on the 26th without Jason Robertson signed, I'm not really worrying about this the way a lot of the media circus has been when it comes to building all this stuff up of there being a decision to make. Like for me, this is still a 90-95% chance he's re-signed and it's an 8-year deal and it's the number starts with 12.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was thinking about with the whole Jason Robertson scenario, obviously Mason McTavish, and it kind of has him listed as center left wing. I'm just saying like one of the things that you and I really focused on last year was the lack of left wing depth. And if for some reason you do trade Jason Robertson, let's say, then it's like, okay, who's playing left wing on this team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also wonder if that's a case that, because I think Maverick Bork can actually play both wings too. Like, I wonder if there's a thought that comes with the Maverick Bork stuff of, who can you get him higher in the lineup on the left wing there as well? So, but yeah, it's also the other thing that is kind of like, not funny, funny is the wrong word, but like you go and look at the team that just went and won the Stanley Cup. Right. You've got, and obviously that's Hurricanes are a really good team in the way they've been built and everything like that, but they went and found they have a 34-year-old Taylor Hall playing on the left. And so once again, to not put too much doom and gloom on it, I just, people talk about it, the Stars have enough on the left wing and who can play there. I think with the way with hockey and the way it's evolved and the way things can move, I don't think there's so much positional locked inness that people should get overly worried about. Like to me, I realize it's unfair to compare any team that won the Stanley Cup to the Dallas Stars, but that's where the Stars want to be. The Stars won the Hurricanes won. You look at kind of spreading things out and doing and being a little bit smart in things with like, so I guess, and I know I'm going to get a comment here that Sean, get just spit your point out. My point is, I think you have some internal options, and I also think you're not nearly as hamstrung in that spot as some other teams in the league as well.
You are a beast, and we appreciate your opinions. And don't worry, they'll stay within this podcast. I know the feedback I get is we love it when Sean throws his opinion out there. So don't worry, sir. Listen, you can get Sean's opinion and great reporting at Shap Shots. Sean's covering some stuff this week that I'm really interested to dive into, and we'll do that later this week. But you can continue on Sean's journey and support him through his Shap Shots. That's his Substack. Also, Elite Prospects. What a time to go to Elite Prospects. Sean's writing articles for them as well as D Magazine. Algorithmically Incorrect. I mean, it's evergreen right now that Jason Demers episode is up with Sean and Robert Tiffin. It's a terrific episode. They'll be doing another episode this week. So Sean's got a lot going on. You can find everything that he has going on at Sean Shapiro. He's a beast. We love having him on the show. Thank you, my friend. That was I tell you, these 30 minutes, they go by quick, but we get a lot in.
Always fun, Gavin. I really appreciate it. And we will, we'll get to, chat it out more later this week. I always look forward to this. So
yeah, I'm not going to say what it's about, but man, it's juicy, and I hope hockey fans like what we talk about this upcoming week, because it has to do with hockey, and I'm excited. But you know, the great thing about Sean, he collects information first, so we can get answers, and that's going to be great. So later this week's going to be a great episode with Sean. Thanks to Gregory Finley, who produces this program, also to the On Time Experts. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Truly appreciate all of your support this off season. Remember, you can go to Apple and leave a review, or just tell a friend. There is a podcast giving you hockey/stars info all off season long. It's Spits and Suds. And until our next episode, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.